business, girl.
All right, guys, welcome back to the second ever episode of Silver Linings with Lojo. I'm so excited to have you guys back, and I just wanted to say, literally, the support on the last episode made me so happy. I had people DMing me on Instagram and texting me, and literally, people were coming up to me on campus as well, and it made me absolutely so happy, and it means the world. And if you have any other special topics you want to hear about, I would love to integrate them into ideas I have, or just sort of make them into their own thing. I'm just excited to be doing this. So I did want to know a couple of things that y'all noticed as I went along. It made me like laugh really hard. But one person just said how much more comfortable I got as I went along. And I do want to emphasize how fucking weird it is to just sit. Like I'm sitting here in my PJs with my Mandalorian socks on. Like Grogu's just vibing on my toes. And it's just so bizarre. And I'll get into that. But one friend told me that I should be more of myself, which I think is absolutely hilarious. And a weird observation I have made since starting that is that in the least derogatory way possible, I find it the hardest to be myself when I'm by myself. And I've always, this kind of builds on the concept of extroverts and introverts. And I've always thought that that was just a metric of how good you are with people. And I've actually grown to realize that it's where you receive your energy. So I, once again, in the least derogatory way possible, like this sounds horrible for me to say, but I need other people to make me feel like a person. And it's something I'm working on, and it's an entirely another episode that I have. And it's not that I don't have fun on my own, of course I do, but when I'm alone, if I'm not as busy, sometimes it's really hard not to overthink, and I know I'm not alone in that. Okay, I actually had this horrible breakdown the other night because I was reflecting on my own mental health and felt, honestly, like I felt like an idiot for doing this in the first place. Because who am I to give advice when I'm, like, not doing perfect all the time? But that's the thing. One fucking Hannah Montana again, like, nobody's perfect. Like, but it was a bad day. It's not a bad life. You're not a bad person. But even then, I give into self-doubt more than I would like to admit. But my roommate did help me realize that advice means the most when it's coming from someone who needs to take it. And let's just, it sounds very counterintuitive at like first glance, but I'm growing alongside you guys and I'm trying to work on myself as I do this. But I do want to build on this whole concept of only feeling complete with company. And that's where I lead into today's topic, which is romantic love. And I thought it'd be a good topic to do for my first episode because it's very bold. I have a very sort of bizarre, not relationship with romantic love, but ideology behind romantic love. And is I thought it was especially good since Valentine's Day is coming up, but I'm an absolutely bizarre person to hear this from. And I've literally never had a boyfriend. I've never been on a date. Like, I feel like genuinely, I just feel like I have so much love to give. I couldn't imagine fully investing myself in someone. Like that idea just terrifies me. And I actually have a completely different episode planned on the concept of not letting people love you or deflecting love or even deflecting your own needs. But what's relevant to this is that anytime I feel myself perhaps getting in the situation of the even potential of a relationship, I feel the need to put up 80 different walls, which is also counterintuitive because I'm a completely open book otherwise. I'm literally, a lot of the stuff I'm about to tell you is super personal, and I'm literally going on the internet. Like, what am I doing? But I do have a pretty good example of this, sadly enough, and this is pretty personal, but there was this guy that I was really good friends with, and so he had told me about this girl that he used to like, and whatever. So about a year ago, he told me that he liked me. And I was like, no, you don't. Like, you still like her. Because we have the same hair color. Like, bitch, what? And I completely gaslit him in a way. And I was telling him that he was misplacing his feelings because he still liked her. And the sad thing is I liked him back. But I just couldn't wrap my head around the idea of someone liking me. Like, why? Like, why would you like me? That doesn't make any sense. Like, I literally...
You probably had the right idea,
right?
But the wrong bitch.
I did that myself right out of the situation. Like, for what? And I did that to myself because no one had ever said that to me before, and I was kind of confused. I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, why? No, you don't. Like, why would you do that? And like, it was really immature of me. I can say that because it was, but at the moment, at least, or in the moment, at least, all I could see was all the ways I had the potential to hurt him and all the ways I could get hurt because I hadn't, quote unquote, finished healing myself. And I think this whole idea of having to close yourself off before opening up to someone is very much a double-edged sword. And that's what I'm here to unpack. Because honestly, I feel when people leave a relationship because they need to work on themselves, it's not pathetic, so to say, but it's an excuse. It's inadequate. And of course, there's exceptions to the rule, but more often than not, it makes the other person feel as if in every relationship in the future, they need to overcompensate in order to be worthy of affection. So often they'll hide their own feelings in order to not feel like they're being a burden to someone else. And they always feel the need to just keep everything calm and keep feeding themselves into someone else. And it creates this cycle of everyone always craving people they think can fix them, of people seeing the good in others and in a way sort of craving that for themselves, or even seeing the bad in others and feeling as if they, as I was saying, could fix them. And I'm a huge advocate for always seeing the good in people. And if you're the same way, absolutely never stop doing this. But I think you'll be able to relate just a little more specifically to what I'm about to talk about. So there's this passage by Plato that I think about all the time. And he recalls a story from Greek mythology that describes how humans were originally created with four arms, four legs, and two faces. Zeus felt threatened by the power these humans held, and instead decided to split these original humans, casting them to spend their entire lives in search of their missing half. And this is the entire concept behind soulmates. I've always loved Plato's work, especially this story. I'm literally in like a philosophical physics class right now. It sounds absolutely bizarre, but it's super cool. But my grand takeaway from this has been that you can't find your other half, so to say, until you yourself are whole. But recently, I've sort of changed my opinion on this, because I think in a weird way, we're born like a tad more than whole. We all have so much love to give that the concept of being hurt shouldn't be so scary. I believe there's always enough room for loving the wrong people without losing yourself or the depth or extent to which you will one day be able to love somebody. Maybe not even the wrong people, but maybe it was a person you were meant to love at that time. But either way, no matter the situation, I think we all have enough love to not always get our fair share in return, no matter how much we deserve it, especially in those moments. And I think we should never stop seeing the good in people and diving headfirst, because some of the people I know that love the hardest choose the hardest people to love. And that's not to say that some people are harder to love than others. Never let yourself believe you're hard to love. But some people just let others love them more easily. And often the people who love easily chase those who don't. On that note, I also think, like metaphorically, of course, that you have to sort of give away little pieces of yourself to everyone you meet. These pieces can be love, life lessons, companionship, commitment, a momentary truth. Like the list is endless. It's just like the concept of investing in other people. You have to let them in, you have to give them a piece of yourself. But at a certain point, it's up to them to figure out how to sort of place these pieces within themselves. And one of the most important things I've learned in life is that you can't take a piece of yourself to fill someone else. You can't just keep tearing yourself apart in an effort to keep someone whole. Eventually, they have to metaphorically provide the glue. They have to make the effort to make it stick. So if you caught on to that in any way, pretty much my whole ideology on romantic love is that we're, or even friendship in the way. Like that can be applied to both. Take it as you will, take what resonates with you. God, I feel like a fucking yoga teacher. So pretty much my like ideology on romantic love is that we're just a bunch of Humpty Dumpties. Like, and we're just looking for someone to put us sort of back together again. And the romantic in me believes in soulmates. Like, I really do. I honestly, like, do believe that one day, hopefully at least, I'll find someone who will make sure to reupholster the pieces given to me so that I remain whole. That'll invest in my hopes and my dreams and my bizarre thought processes, and as I will theirs. But I think the main takeaway of this whole brain vomit metaphor bullshit is that you have to be the one to make yourself whole in the first place. There's absolutely nothing wrong with cracking, but you need to first learn how to put yourself back together again before sort of expecting or letting someone do it for you, before letting someone love you. And taken literally, that is the hardest thing in the world, because love is just idealized so much to the point that more often than not, we fall in love with potential and not people. And there's so many songs written about this. If you ever listened to a song called Jay's Lullaby, I would fully recommend it. It's sort of, it's like along those lines. Oh, and don't even try to get me started on Sparks by Coldplay. The emotional attachment I have to that song, I could literally write an entire dissertation on it. And if you know that song, please talk to me about it anytime, because it is such an integral part of my life. Which is weird to say about a song, but it really is. And I think it's also really funny because my favorite song of absolutely all time is Shake the Frost by Tyler Childers. And I always sort of felt the way I listened to that song and the way I feel while I'm listening to that song is how I think love would feel. But if you ever listen to the lyrics, it's literally about someone reflecting on a relationship and not being able to love someone enough, which I think is violently ironic. But continuing. So often we take the idea of someone and construct it into this unattainable standard, so much so that even if they're a wonderful person, they're destined to fall short of it. And we do this as a way to sabotage ourselves. I plan on doing an entire episode of this on this concept of self-sabotage, but I do want to quickly touch on the concept of hyper-independence. If you've been single for a while, or like me, literally forever, whoops, you probably hyper-focus on independence. And you often, people do this, or at least I know I've done it in the past, you use it as an escape route from commitment. Or just because you've been told, oh yeah, I can't really imagine you ever having a boyfriend. You literally have no idea how many times I've heard that. It's horrible. I just never quite know how to take it. And I know Kennedy, if you're listening to this, she did a TikTok and it went viral, so I felt so glad I was not the only one that's happened to. But my point is that you don't always have to isolate yourself to heal. While sometimes it can be very beneficial, in the long run, that's just you telling yourself that you need to meet a certain standard in order to be worthy of love. Investing in yourself is always important, and it should be a consistent effort, and although it's not always linear, you never have to do it alone. And here's where I want to sort of devolve the connotation of alone. Because love is all you hear about growing up. Romantic love, to be specific. Literally half my favorite songs are about romantic love, or loss, or somewhere along the lines of wanting someone to love you. Because it's literally everywhere. And when things get hard, it's so easy to feel alone and to want a person. A person you know is yours and you can tell anything to without judgment. And I've always sort of thought it was a weird concept, because when you take a step back, I have dozens of friends that meet that description, but we're taught to devalue those friendships in search of this sort of elevated soulmate figure. And that's not to say you don't love your friends. But in all of us, there is this just yearning for romantic love. And if you know me, you know my favorite book of all time is Little Women. And I will be quoting it a lot, but there's this scene between Jo March, who is this hyper-independent character. She's a writer, and she often... This is one of the only times in the entire, if you've seen the 2019 version, it's one of the only times in the movie and even in the book that she cries. She's not very emotional, which I can relate to her so much. I can't relate to her on that. But it is sort of feeds into the idea of the hyper-independence and needing to hide your feelings, but in hiding them, it sort of just makes you, in a way, when like you do feel yourself wanting to love somebody, you kind of back away from it. And it makes those feelings stronger because they just hide over time, and you push them down, you push them down. And this, in this scene, she's talking to her mom. And it's a few months after Joe and her best friend, Lori, who if you've seen 2019, is played by Timothy Chalamet, they were best friends for so long, and he told her that he loved her, and she turned him down. And I'm just going to read the scene really quickly. So the mom goes, "Do you love him?" Joe: "If he asked me again, I think I would say yes. Do you think he'll ask me again?" Mom: "But do you love him?" Joe, and this is as she begins to cry, she goes, "I know that I care more to be loved. I want to be loved." The mom goes, "That is not the same as loving." And so Joe, scrambling, like crying at this moment and trying so hard to hold those tears back, goes, "Women, they have minds and souls as well as hearts, ambition and talent as well as beauty. And I'm sick of being told that love is all a woman is fit for. But I am so lonely." And I bawl my eyes out every time I read or watch this scene because it's so perfectly painful. And it is, totally dives into the fact that love is, in its own way, not really a choice. But it, at the same time, it is a choice to open yourself up to being loved. And that is so hard. But there's this quote, again, it's literally, of course it's another movie book pair with Emma Watson because she's my favorite, but it's from The Perks of Being a Wallflower. And it says, "We accept the love we think we deserve." And I know probably all of you have heard that before. And I've always thought it was so interesting because while there's a million different ways to analyze it, one that is often overlooked is how, because love is so oversaturated in the media, like it's so shoved in our faces, it's so sort of woven into every part of life. Like seriously, I should not be in my bed by myself at night and feeling jealous over 2 15-year-olds who probably met at like a high school football game and now are dating. Like that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. But moving on. We often deny ourselves the beauty of the love we have every day. And I genuinely don't care how cliche it sounds because it's true. We devalue our friendships in search of the elevated ideal of romance. I want to ride on the word elevated because while it's not that we put our other sort of love symbols, so to say, like your friends, your family, whatever, it's not that you put them down for a significant other, but it is that you raise this concept of a significant other to just another level of sort of like a hierarchy above them. And more often than not, the perfect little moments or the grand gestures that you see couples share, you also share these with your friends and your family even. They exist in your life, but more often than not, we deny them and we deny how genuine that love is in search of something else. It's the elevated concept, and it's human nature, and it's never something to feel guilty about, but it is something to think about. But that's why I'm here. That's why you're here listening to this podcast, because we know the way something is isn't always the way it should be. And in my final statements here, I want to touch on self-love and sort of just get a little personal. And while it wasn't the topic I wanted to dive into today, I do want to acknowledge just how difficult it is. And I want to remind you that in no way are you unlovable. And I cannot emphasize that enough because I feel that way all of the time. And you can gaslight yourself all you want. You can tell yourself it's ridiculous to think you're unlovable. No one's unlovable. And you believe that of everyone else. Why can't you believe it in yourself? It doesn't make any sense. We tell ourselves this redundantly, and we see, as I keep saying, we see it in the media 24/7. And I see my friends getting validation out the ass 24/7. And all I can think about during this is, why not me? Like, what about me makes me so damn unapproachable and at the same time so freaking, like, unlovable? And why has no one ever stood in a crowd and seen me and been like, hell yeah, that's the one? One of those picture-perfect moments. Like, why has no one ever noticed all the work I put into myself into becoming a person I finally believe to be worthy of being wanted? And genuinely, I don't have answers to those questions. And I don't feel them all the time, but it is very easy to let sort of those little intrusive thoughts slip. And at the same time, I do want to emphasize that the idea of being worthy is absolute bullshit. A stupid example of this, to get a little lighter, is that I've never been invited to a frat cocktail. Like, been here, I don't know, how many months have I been here? I don't know, almost 2 years. But, like, I've never just been invited to one. And I do in fact acknowledge how stupid and silly that sounds. And I think the same thing. But, like, in my head, like, I think I'm fun. I think I get along with people easily. Like, I would be a good time, whatever. And when I say these things to myself, I just can't help but smile. Because in my heart, I do know that these little nagging thoughts that maybe I'll never be good enough. I hate that phrase. I hate good enough. You're always good enough. But it's so easy to feel like you're not. But I know that these thoughts that's rushing all the time that I'll never be good enough, that they're wrong. And they're genuinely so wrong that when I get in a good headspace, I laugh at them because of the fact that I can say these other good things in the first place. And that I can acknowledge that I don't have to meet some standard of worth for them to continue to be true. I am fun. I do get along with people easily. I'm a great time. Oh. But another person just hasn't, they have no effect on this. And while it would genuinely be lovely for someone to one day fall in love with me for these things, in the meantime, they aren't any less true. And you have to remind yourself of that. In my sort of philosophical physics class that we were talking about, or I was talking to myself about earlier, we talked about Aristotle, who is a great philosopher. I'm sure you all have heard of him before. And he was taught by Plato, the guy who made the whole concept of soulmates and being split and Zeus, whatever. And he is known as being the first genuine scientist in history. But when he was asked why he thought the world moved, his answer wasn't gravity, it wasn't motion or force or any of those scientific words. His genuine answer was love. Like, Baby Roll was poetic as fuck, but he was being so serious. And when describing the world and its motion and everything, he proposed that everything, quote, moves in perfect circles to prevent a void from opening. He meant it very literally, which it was actually proved false. But in my interpretation, it feeds into the fact that we all feel this need to maintain an air of perfection to avoid opening up to people. And whether it's someone you're romantically interested in or someone you want to be friends with, we feel as if putting our sort of most genuine self forward, the self that feels the same things I was describing, that people won't sort of like us as much. And I can tell you that is wrong. And you don't need to perform for your friends. You don't need to sort of lock yourself away. You don't need to be hyper independent. You don't have to force yourself to quote unquote meet the standard. Because you are so much more than that standard. And we always just bury love under a layer of fear. So as my actual final statement of today's episode, I want to prompt you to take risks, to put yourself out there, to not be afraid to be hurt, get hurt, appreciate what you have, but don't be afraid to ask for more. Be honest, be generous, give without receiving, but most importantly, remind yourself that you can also find within yourself what you desperately crave of others. I love you all, Have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you again soon.